Radio Cabele, your anarchist radio.
Hello. It's Radio Cabele, number 11. We've had a little time away. Sorry if you missed us. And we're back now with show number 11. On the show today, we've got bits and bobs. We've got music from the special local band, They Will Not Shut Up, Crisis Spanner. So it's good to have their new album on here. And we've also got interview from...
Yeah, we've got somebody from the Bristol Book Fair Collective in, telling us about what is happening that whole week, actually, and the day itself. And amazingly, he also seems to know a bit about what's going on in Greece.
My God.
So he tells us a bit about that.
Multitask.
Multi.
And then we've also got a taped interview with Maya Pedal from Guatemala. And then also we've got... an interview with Moscow ABC?
Yeah. We've been trying to get this guy for some time, I think. Somebody from Bristol ABC managed to track him down. I think he had to leave Russia. So, have a listen to that.
Cool.
Yeah. And just to let you know, we do try to get a show out every month.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in working with us, obviously if you're in the Bristol area, what's the email address people are supposed to use?
The email address is radiocabele@riseup.net. And if you'd like to be on the show, if you'd like to be interviewed, if you've got any news to give us for the global and local updates, then yeah, drop us a line on that as well.
Yeah, we usually record and sometimes stream on the third Sunday of the month. And the next show, we're hoping to be at the Bristol Anarchist Book Fair.
Good stuff. My name is Dick Gherkin.
I'm Deadly Nightshade. And our interviewee, our guest today.
Hi, I'm Tim from the Anarchist Book Fair.
Tim for the Anarchist Book Fair, welcome. And on the decks, we have Janowski, with the skills to pay the bills. Welcome.
Hey.
Okay, so welcome to Tim from the Anarchist Book Fair.
Collective. Good afternoon, good evening, and good morning.
Delete is applicable.
One of them. Or all of them.
Would you like to tell us about the book fair?
What would you like to know?
Well, first of all, why don't you give us a bit of background, and we'll take it from there.
Well, a bit of background, I guess the key thing that you need to know is it's on Saturday, May the 7th, 2011, which is in approximately 3 weeks' time. So it's squidgy bottom time for the Book Fair Collective, whilst the rest of you just get very, very, very excited about coming along. This year, it's probably going to be bigger than last year. I think there's something like 60 tables of stalls, 32 films, meetings, debates and discussions. We'll have the vegan cafe in the building as usual. There'll be a kids' space. There's a great after party lined up at the Attic Bar that Cabale Sound are organising. And in fact, in the run-up to the book fair, over about 8 or 9 days beforehand, there's events almost every day, either meetings or gigs or films. So yeah, lots of fun for all the family.
Yeah,
take your pick.
One of the speakers, Gabriel Kuhn, is also speaking the night before the book fair, correct?
That's correct. Gabriel Kuhn is an American-Austrian anarchist, author and ex-semi-professional footballer. He's coming over to the UK and he's going to be talking on the Friday night at a meeting at Eastern Community Centre, organised by a Bristol Radical History Group, talking about soccer versus the state and looking at the interrelationship of fans with the football authorities.
So is that like a European focus of football?
Pretty much European focus on football, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then he'll be talking on, believe it or not, the German Revolution of 1919 at the book fair in the Radical History Zone, and he's bringing a PM Press stall with him from America. PM Press are a new publisher, a bit of a split off from AK Press, in fact, who will also be at the book fair, so that could be entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of I heard today about PM Press. It sounds like it's a bit of a new direction, sort of higher output books cost a little bit more, but then that funds a sort of more of an editorial process. And
Don't know a huge amount about it, really. Yeah. Have seen some of their books, saw a load of them at the Montreal Book Fair a couple of years ago, where we spoke to the AK Press founder and PM Press founder, Ramsey. The books are enormous.
Yeah.
Like,
but
many
they're really
pages.
Well produced, though, aren't they?
Well produced, yeah, and they're pumping out a load of interesting DVDs, too.
Hmm.
So, yeah, not quite sure what the ethos is, but it seems like pretty much a continuation of the sort of stuff AK did.
Okay, well, we are hoping to be able to speak to him when he's in town, so.
Gabriel Kuhn.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'd be happy to talk to anyone.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, and so there's a particular sort of historical event. I'm trying to remember the name of the poet, but what is it? Heathcote Williams. This sort of took me by surprise. I'd never heard of this fella before. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Well, event? You just haven't been around long enough, that's all. Steve Coe Williams is, well, he made his name really sort of within the counterculture of the 60s and 70s. Bit of a poet, playwright, all-round sort of good guy, bad boy. His poetry did cross over into the mainstream, mainly on sort of ecological type poems. I guess for all the squatters out there, you'd be interested to know that back in 1977, in West London, close to Portobello Road, in the area of North Kensington, a bunch of squatters occupied some land and called it Frestonia, the Independent Republic of Frestonia. They issued their own passports, which isn't very anarchistic, actually, but never mind. And Heathcote Williams was their ambassador to Great Britain for a short-lived period. Where Frestonia was is currently or is now a housing co-op called Bramley Housing Co-op. So, yeah, a little bit of it lived on. But anyway, yeah, he still writes. He's getting quite old now. But a guy called Roy Hutchins will be performing at 5 o'clock in the large hall on level 5 of the Book Fair at Hamilton House. And Roy will be performing a lot of his work, including excerpts from their upcoming show, Zanzibar Cats, I think it is. So that should be a bit of an end-of-the-day closer. Then you can have a quick pint and nip down to the book fair after party.
Beautiful. I'm just looking, because we've got hot off the press, the latest, or I'm assuming it's slightly provisional timetable, or is it the
almost final?
One?
Almost final.
And yeah, there's some really good stuff. The Ratcliffe 114, WikiLeaks and Bradley Manning, Unions and the Struggles for Workers' Control, Anarcho-Feminism, Solidarity Means Attack, Living Wage, Bristol's Urban Outcast, Teenagers Under the Knife. That sounds like something a bit different.
Yeah, that will be a bit different. I think that's a guy who's involved with working with young people, and basically he's looking at the sort of way disenfranchised teenagers are responding to their situation, perhaps by trying to control their immediate social space, not necessarily in the best way with violence, but trying to understand and like see if there are ways that sort of youth can be encouraged to be a little bit more sort of positive in the way they control their local territory. So it could be quite an interesting chat, that one.
Yeah.
There's an important squatting meeting as well, isn't there? Sort of dealing with some of the upcoming changes.
Yeah, it's a bit of a late addition from some of the many squatters out in Bristol. The Tories, once again, are threatening to make squatting completely illegal. So obviously that will need a reaction and a response. So they'll be talking a little bit about potential law changes and indeed what they could potentially do about it.
Mm. Right, and also, so the Anarchist Book Fair Collective is doing the Bristol Indie Media Film Night on Monday before the 7th, is that right?
Yep, on Monday the 2nd of May, we do a joint night with Bristol Indie Media at the Cube, 7:30, come along. Be showing a couple of films and there'll be a discussion and going under the heading of The Road to Haymarket in May Day and its relevance today. Got a couple of films actually from America, two short documentaries that look, the first one looks, is called The Road to Haymarket and develops ideas or develops or tells a story of what America was like in the 20 years before 1886 when people were murdered in Haymarket by the cops. The second film looks at what happened when the centenary of that event was commemorated in Chicago and they conveniently forgot to allow any anarchists to speak or indeed invite them, which is a bit of an airbrushing of history once again. So yeah, we'll be looking at like how relevant are unions today, what powers do they have, could they have, and what can we as sort of the mass of the working class do to either regain control of our own unions, or are there alternatives to that?
Mm.
Come along and tell us what you think.
Linked in with that then, I suppose, is a nice little segue to there's like a few meetings in the large hall by the looks of it, and one 3 to 4:30 p.m. Anarchists Against the Cuts, the Role of Anarchists in the Anti-Cuts Movement, by Bristol Anarchist Federation, because obviously that's another practical example of grabbing the shitty end of the stick, so to speak, and dealing with unions and their various foibles and careerists and genuinely good-hearted people. So yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, and there are other events in the week leading up to it, correct? And all there that are. Information is on the Anarchist Book Fair website?
All that information is on the Anarchist Book Fair website. Have a look.
Would you like to give us that address?
Almost every night. The book fair website is www.bristolanarchistbookfair.org, and click on the 2011 book fair other events page, and you could have a very busy week.
Good stuff. And I've seen there's a few good articles on there, a bit of insight into what happened on the 26th. And
yeah, a few random individuals post up articles every now and then, or we nick interesting stuff from other places. So yeah, it's an attempt to sort of generate some debate amongst the movement, get ourselves focused.
God forbid
that one day we might have some strategies and tactics that we all agree on. Good Lord. Then the Condemn Coalition can really start bricking it.
That's it.
Instead of us bricking them. But there we go.
Indeed.
All right, well, thanks very much.
Thank you. See you on the 7th. I think you might even be broadcasting from the book fair, mightn't you?
That's true.
That is the hope.
That would be hilarious.
Good stuff. Okay,
thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
We're going to hear a track from the Collective Mary Read, who are playing after the Bristol Book Fair at the Bristol Book Fair Benefit, and it's at a place called The Attic? Yes, The Attic Bar, which is on Stokescroft, from 9 to 2 a.m., and it's only a fiver.
Une lune noire, vaisseau pirate sorti des larmes de l'étoile noire. Croisement d'épées, tête de mort sur l'étendard. Le crépitement d'une mer en feu qui se répand sur les boulevards. Dynamite statue et pont élevé à leur gloire. Arrache sans trêve le nom des rues, de leurs bourreaux, de leurs colons, des assassins, de leurs armées, des inquisiteurs incantatoires. Sans lumière sous la lune noire, opérant telle une marée noire. S'approche en cercle et brûle les guets des citadelles, des tours d'ivoire. Le vin du pain des affamés gonfle les rangs, chaos des rues comme firmament. Et la vengeance comme fermamente s'avance sanglante sous la lune noire. Réminiscence de triste mémoire. Le vaisseau fantôme armé des ombres s'avance des larmes de l'Occident carbonisées à l'excitant. En silence sous la lune noire,
hissé le pavillon noir.
Que résonnent les cris de Cusco,
hissé le pavillon noir.
Que résonnent les cris des esclaves,
hissé le pavillon noir.
Que résonnent les cris et les sanglots,
hissé le pavillon noir. Hissé le pavillon noir.
Que résonnent les cris des bûchers,
hissé le pavillon noir.
Que résonnent les cris de Gorée,
hissé le pavillon noir.
Qu'il soit vengeance puis liberté,
hissé le pavillon noir.
Toujours le même décor, cette lune noire. À l'horizon, cette terre et ces murailles qui s'éloignent. Sur la mer, un bateau qui s'évade, des armées qui s'écartent, des canons qui se rechargent. Mais la victoire a choisi son camp depuis longtemps. Ira vers la lune noire, détruisant les armées des tyrans, ne leur offrant qu'un répit illusoire. À peine le temps pour ces soldats de se souvenir des exactions perpétrées sur leurs semblables. À force de sentir les semblables, fallait bien qu'ils périssent dans les flammes. Soudain leur monde s'embrase et pas dans le calme. Soudain les ruines s'entassent, toujours pas de calme. La lune noire a depuis longtemps affiné sa focale, rempli ses cales et mis le feu au poudre à temps. Prochaine escale,
un monde meilleur, faut pas que ça traîne, la suite attend.
En silence sous la lune noire,
hissé le pavillon noir.
que résonnent les cris des sans-voix.
Ici le pavillon noir.
Que résonnent les cris des combattants.
Ici le pavillon noir.
Que résonnent les cris des dissidents.
Ici le pavillon noir. Ici le pavillon noir.
Que résonnent les cris des condamnés.
Ici le pavillon noir.
Que résonnent les cris des damnés.
Ici le pavillon noir.
Qu'ils soient vengeance puis liberté.
Ici le pavillon noir.
Un vaisseau glisse sur les flots noirs. Les uniformes de sa majesté sont illusoires. Les vagues se brisent sur la jetée. Rejetés au large seront les corps des sbires de l'anti-liberté. La piraterie est le symbole d'un monde uni. Démocratie, antisexisme, antiracisme et pas de pays. Je suis l'héritière de marées rides. Pierre par pierre on démontra les monuments et les prisons érigés par le patriarcat. La rage des femmes ne prend pas de rides. Quand les porcs ont tous les droits sur les trottoirs, notre vengeance sera glaciale et exutoire. Les milliers de viols, d'humiliations, de genoux au sol et d'injonctions seront unis sous la lune noire. Et dans un siècle, peut-être nos enfants seront unis sous le drapeau noir. Ça fait quatre siècles que les amants de l'utopie inondent les ponts des navires de leur sang mêlé. En silence sous la lune noire.
Ici le pavillon noir.
Que résonnent les cris des pogroms.
Ici le pavillon noir.
Que résonnent les cris des indiens.
Ici le pavillon noir.
Que résonnent les cris du peuple rom.
Ici le pavillon noir. Ici le pavillon noir.
Que résonnent les cris des violés.
Ici le pavillon noir.
Que résonnent les cris des pendus.
Ici le pavillon noir.
Qu'ils soient vengeance puis liberté.
Ici le pavillon noir.
Hello. Great song. Great song. And yeah, we're back. Stop stinging in the background. We're back and yeah, straight into the global updates. A guest. Beep 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 then as well. Okay, well, part of the reason that we do the global updates is because a common problem is that something will go in the headline in the headlights, an issue, and then the spectacle will move on, if you like, and you're left a year later saying, well, what did happen in Greece, or what did happen in other places? And so that's an attempt of what we're actually trying to do here. So I thought I'd start off, first of all, on what's happened in the Middle East, the so-called Arab Spring. The focus has moved away now onto Libya and sort of various other things, some kind of alternative vote that's some kind of load of bollocks. And so, yeah, one good thing, I hate to plug the BBC with all of their foibles and faults, but even a stop clock tells the right time twice a day. And, yeah, a good way to catch up on what's happened is to go to the BBC Middle East page, and there's an article from Roger Hardy that's quite good, gives a good sort of content-rich analysis on the Arab Spring, what's happened to it. But basically the short answer is Egypt's still rocking on. There's still a lot of union strikes. The Suez Canal workers have been out since the 3rd of April. The National Democratic Party has been ordered to dissolve. One down, 58 parties to go. And the assets have been taken by the new interim government. And also employees at 14 power stations have begun a strike to remove corrupt officials. And so still plenty going on. Basically, it wasn't a revolution in Egypt. Obviously, it was a coup. But a coup backed by the people with a popular army, if you like, and now everyone's sort of waiting with bated breath to see what happens.
Stuff keeps happening in Bahrain and Syria as well. So
yeah, I mean, the reason I mentioned that Roger Hardy thing is he's good in that he sort of picks up threads of what is happening. You know, religion is a factor, sectarianism is a factor, but at the same time, it is a massive upswelling of freedom. You know, and it's being done with every means available. You know, it's not a peaceful velvet revolution or anything like that. It's one that's being won with, you know, with hands and sticks and stones and guns and everything, like old school revolution basically. So yeah, very interesting thing.
Yeah, Zed magazine out of the States as well, that Noam Chomsky writes for, they've been putting out a lot of stuff because Robert Fisk writes for The Independent, also writes for them. And then there's also some good analysis about how the uprisings this spring or this year have changed the narrative about, like, the West versus Islam.
Definitely. And linked to that, another sort of a global update was France's frankly shocking knee-jerk reaction to the suppression of women under a pretty hardcore form of Islam. And they banned the burqa, as the people would say. But actually, the most interesting thing for our listeners here is, I think if you look at the legislation that's actually been passed, it's a ban on covering your face. Which I would not be surprised at all. I think they said there was 1,900 women in France that cover their faces. Hell of a lot more than that activists that do on an afternoon out, I would have thought. And I wouldn't be surprised if you find the first 199 out of 200 cases are actually against activists. And I wouldn't be surprised if you get a version of that coming into Britain as well.
Won't need the old stop and search.
Yeah, then. Always look behind the headlines. It was the same thing happened with the stalking laws, famously, when they came in to stop Madonna being chased down the street. And it turned out that nearly all of the cases that went to court were against animal rights activists. And so, yeah, I think we can definitely see the same type of thing happening.
Yeah, so sticking with Europe as well, there is, as being reported in even the mainstream media, that Greece is becoming ungovernable. And there's some speculation that they might default on their loans, and which, I mean, would obviously have ramifications for everyone in the European Union. But our Greek correspondent has a little bit of an update for us.
Greek correspondent who can't speak Greek, but never mind. Yeah, interestingly, today's Observer picked up on incidents going on the outskirts of Athens in a place, I think it's pronounced Karateia, where the state wants to put basically a huge rubbish tip. This has been going on for 2 or 3 months now, but locals are resisting this quite furiously. They've been digging up the road, they've been battling the riot cops on an almost daily basis. And yeah, finally that seems to have been picked up by the Western media. But within the context, indeed, that Greece is approaching ungovernability, apparently the top cop in Athens has asked for permission to remove his men from that area on the basis that they're unable to enforce the law.
Victory.
Which sounds pretty good to me. Elsewhere across Greece, obviously, there are many, many protests. The government is increasingly unpopular, as are the rich. The government is saying everyone's got to tighten their belts. Sounds just like David Cameron. But obviously, the rich in Greece are not tightening their belts at all. They've still got their super yachts and their islands and things like that. But for Greek people, unemployment's rising, inflation's rising, jobs are disappearing out the window, services are just not being put into practice at all. Increase in things like road tolls have caused huge uproar. Thousands and thousands of people every day refuse to pay these increased road tolls, to the extent that the government is now backtracking on that. And just the general attitude of Greek people is clearly growing more antagonistic and oppositional to their government and to the EU and the IMF. And it could be a very interesting time coming up. As we know, Greeks has pretty much been in rebellion since December 2008 when the cops shot yet another kid, and they've shot a few more people since, and they will continue to do so. But
I think it's
see how it goes.
It's interesting because obviously, as you've reported for us before, there was a big upsurge, wasn't there? Like a very, very popular movement that had the steam taken out of it when some bank workers were killed in an arson attack, which seemed to split the movement. And then there was the usual problems of they elected a socialist government and everyone sort of waited to see whether they would provide the answer. The Communist Party didn't really seem to sort of put their full weight behind the revolutionary tendency, if you like. But now this seems like a sort of more practical, if you like, rather than an ideological rebellion in the fact that the austerity measures are starting to hit and that people are just rejecting them.
Yeah, and I mean, clearly for a lot of people, like, it's getting quite hard to make sort of ends meet in Greece. You know, if you haven't got work or your work is so poorly paid that, you know, you're still struggling to eat, clothe and house yourself, then, you know, you will start to take quite drastic action.
That article in The Observer, they sort of described that the road poll that people told her that people had to pay, it's like a can't pay, won't pay situation. Just as has happened here in the past, so it is, you know, when it's real, you know, and the people just refuse, then the government has to back down.
Yeah, that's very true, and a huge amount of ongoing strikes all the time in Greece across many, many sectors. Again, you know, very unreported here, you know, for some whatever reasons, maybe it's just not sexy news, but we don't seem to be hearing very much about Greece. And then the other key issue for Greece is that they've introduced another, I think, 50 billion euros worth of cuts across the state sector, alongside, of course, massive privatisation. But it's still reckoned that they will probably default on some of the debts they have, which could have some serious ramifications.
A haircut for the investors. That's what we all want.
Neck car,
or beheading.
Neck cut, yeah. Sit tight in your belt and tighten your belt. So anyway. Well, thanks for that update. And perhaps you could stay with us as we sort of talk about other issues. And staying in Europe, one thing that I've got from the Italy Calling website, got to give that a plug, is that on March the 24th, the European Court of Human Rights fully absolved Italy of the death of Carlo Giuliani during the anti-G8 protests of 2001 in Genoa. I don't know whether you remember that, but it was a real watershed moment for the European anarchist and anti-capitalist movement. Basically what happened was there was 3 days of protest against the Genoa G8, the first of which was pretty hot, the second of which was even hotter and turned into a real battle between the Carabinieri, who are like the sort of semi-military police in Italy, and one of their jeeps got caught behind on the wrong side of the lines, got attacked by people, one of who was Carlo Giuliani, who went up to it with a fire extinguisher in his hand, fully, you know, expecting to chuck it at it, smash the windscreen or whatever, and came across a copper who was already had his gun pulled and cocked and loaded, and the copper shot him through the forehead, killed him outright, and then the cop jeep reversed over his body and then reversed over it again. Well, the European Court of Human Rights has said that there was no misdeed involved in that. He did it purely in self-defense, although how you can have your pistol drawn to defend yourself before there's any kind of threat for you, I don't know. But even more nonsensical was that the court also cleared the Italian government of any kind of cover-up, of any kind of problem with the way that they policed the whole event. This is the same event where the first trial against Giuliani, the judge dismissed his murder trial on the basis that the shot that he'd fired had been ricocheted against a piece of masonry, and so he hadn't actually meant to kill Giuliani. Later on, this was proved completely false.
Sounds a bit JFK.
Totally. It wasn't even the same bullet that they you know, and the European Court of Human Rights has said that there was nothing wrong with any of that. And basically, the copper, who was called Palacanica, he was not him, but another 15 officials were found in 2008, mostly police, to be guilty of strip searching and beating protesters. This is on the third day. So after, on the night after Giuliani was killed, there was a big raid on a social centre that turned very violent, and there was pretty hardcore atrocities that happened. And so basically all of this, the European Court of Human Rights has said, no problem at all. So obviously setting a precedent if one was needed for police forces around the world, especially Europe, to do whatever the fuck they want. So it's, just shows what happens when you try and rely on the law.
That's dismal. Actually, it reminds me, there's a good documentary on the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation website at the moment, which is cbc.ca, and it's a documentary from the strand that would be like Panorama over here, but it's called Should Have Stayed at Home, and it's about people's experience at the G20 in Toronto. And again, you know, it just blows your mind, the stuff, you know, like one gentleman, one elderly fella had his like prosthetic leg taken away from him, you know, and was left without it for over a day, stuff like this. But there are several police officers up on criminal charges in Canada at the moment, so it'll be interesting to see how that turns out as well, or if it's just this reinforcement of the fact that you can basically get away with it if you're in a uniform.
Totally. So. And this is like sort of one thing to remember about March the 26th is it was a response to the G8 protest the year before, the G10 or whatever, G58 they're up to now, where the climate camp was in London and got kettled by the police. Everyone had their hands in the air shouting, this is not a riot, and they got the absolute crap kicked out of them and punched out of them by the police, who attacked them and committed what in other walks of life would be classed as an atrocity. And so it's no surprise that when people plan to meet the police again, they came prepared this time and weren't prepared to put their hands in the air and get beaten up. So, yeah, I think that's definitely what you call a strategic advance in my book.
Brilliant. And were we going to have a bit of a chat about strikes? We're encouraging everybody to go on strike on the 30th of June.
Yeah, there's a... Well, the PCS have organised a strike in Bristol at the Lodge House Centre on Fishponds Road. That's for the 18th of April. But there's also a lot of talk, of maybe, God forbid, an English general strike.
Yeah, there
On the 30th of April.
Yeah, the BBC seems to be putting this idea around. One particular correspondent, Paul Mason, who may or may not be in your favour at the moment.
You've dirtied yourself, Paul.
But I think it's the teachers' union and possibly the nurses' union and several other unions are balloting to go on strike on the 30th of June. But Unison, the largest union, won't ballot their workers to do that. And I've heard speculation that that is because they've been burned, especially with the British Airways strikes about the ballot not being conducted properly, that they want to make sure that if they go for this, that it is totally legit and that nobody can dispute it and the workers don't get in trouble. So, but hopefully, though, there'll still be quite a few people on strike definitely on the 30th of June, so book the day off now.
Turn out and help them out, yeah. I mean, it's a really interesting time for unions at the moment. I think going back to the meeting at the book fair that the Anarchist Federation have talked about the role of anarchists in the anti-cuts movement, there's a few questions about the role of unions in the anti-cuts movement, because obviously the March the 26th was a huge demonstration that energised a lot of people. But the question now is what next? And it seems like this might be a suggestion. I mean, the classic sort of anarchist response, I suppose, to the unions is that the leadership crushes any dissent and crushes any aim for improvement from the workers and it attempts to control the strike. I was reading a book recently about Italy in the 1970s, and that's basically what they say is they called them the firefighters, because as soon as there was any flames of dissent, the union would come around and put them out and say, no, you need to wait, or you need to do it in a structured way. But then you speak to the people in the union and they say that their members just don't support that, and obviously they're acting in their members' interests, and so they're saying that they're caught between two stools, really, and that they want to be more energetic in defending their members' interests, but their members aren't that energetic themselves. So I think it's strikes like this that basically give us the answer, whether the members are looking to do more or whether they're not that fussed.
Yeah. or if they're too afraid and there's still enough, they're not desperate enough yet, basically.
That's it, yeah.
We should all soon be in that position.
Lower the minimum wage. Yeah. That'll kick off.
Definitely. So another sort of local update is that Bristol ABC is going to be doing a film night with Bent Bars, which supports queer and trans adult prisoners in the UK on the 12th of May. And we're doing it at a venue called Under the Stars.
Other local events are the local anti-cuts group, East and Against the Cuts. Local for us, anyway. Not local for you, maybe. Find your own one. Find your own one. Eastern Against the Cuts, Question Time. They're going to do an interview of the local politicians, all except the Conservative, I understand. Ooh. Who's already dropped out. Well, previous commitments.
What, to dismantling the state?
Yeah, there's a joke about furry friends there, but I won't make it. That's going to take place on Wednesday, the 27th of April, from 7:15 at Eastern Community Centre. It's your chance to come along and pit your wits against the local existing local councillors and also the candidates for the local councils. And the main point of it is to ask them, what can you do about the cuts? What will you do about the cuts? And the underlying statement being, if you can't do anything and you won't do anything, then what's the blinking point of having you there? So that'll be interesting. Another thing, talking about discussions, is the BARD, Bristol Anarchist Reading Group. They've had a few discussions already on the role of morality in anarchism, giving up activism, and also the tactics of the Black Bloc, or the tactic of doing a Black Bloc, I suppose. They're going to continue the discussion, but in a new atmosphere, in a new format, which is rather than sitting in a room, which doesn't really help those that can't think on the hoof, they're going to do it as a morning or a day of setting a discussion topic in the morning and then going away and doing something else and chatting about it amongst yourselves and then coming back with hopefully a few answers. And they're going to do that on the 23rd of April at the Sims Hill Shared Harvest. If you search on the internet for Sims Hill Shared Harvest, you'll be able to find the information. And the Barge Group are on Crabgrass. Look for Barge or Bristol Anarchist Reading Group. If you don't know what crabgrass is, then you haven't lived, basically. Get on it. It's the organizing tool of the 23rd century.
It'll take up more of your time than Facebook.
We guarantee it.
That's right. And I think there's also a gig coming up that our Greek correspondent might know about.
Is that the one on the 30th of April, perhaps?
Oi Polloi.
Oi Polloi, yeah. Good old Oi Polloi from up in Scotland, coming down to Bristol on a special one-off gig organised by the Bastard Squad Collective as a benefit for the 325 Collective and magazine. So you've got Oi Polloi, supported by Divine Spark, War System, and someone else whose name I can't pronounce, and they're playing at the White Hart on Whitehall Road in Easton, BS5, from about 8 o'clock. It's £6 on the door. So come along, should be a cracking night out.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Couple of final updates. We've got the Factory Film Night, which is sort of looking like a really good thing. They've got the next film, which is The Crips and the Bloods, Made in America, the history of the two gangs, and follows on from what our book fair correspondent was saying about the locals and how you defend your territory and you could do it in a better way, and whether there's any sort of politics to what they do. So that should be interesting. And then if you hear this too late, the next, which is called Blue Gold, World Water Wars, which sounds like one of those brilliant apocalypse. We'll all be fighting with flint knives over a bucket of water or whatever, but I'm sure it's a lot more complicated than that. And then at Belly, there is a Rossport Solidarity Night for the famous Rossport campaign against the pipeline from Shell, isn't it? Shell to Hell. which is the struggle still ongoing there.
Right, yeah, and I guess lots of Bristol-based updates anyway will be on Bristol Indie Media, and Cabele, where we're broadcasting from at the moment, also has its own website, cabelecoop.org. No UK on that?
I don't think there is, no.
All right, okay.
Cabelecoop.org.
Cabelecoop.org. So, and now I think we're going to take a break for a song by a local band.
The local band.
The local band.
They won't shut up. It's as simple as that. Spanner, from their new album, simply entitled Crisis. If there wasn't one, they'd make it themselves. But thankfully, there is one. And so they're going to add to it with their album Crisis. And this is the first song, Frightened of Freedom.
Prison!
is an interview with somebody from Moscow ABC, Anarchist Black Cross, done by one of the members of Bristol Anarchist Black Cross, and this was pre-recorded sometime in April.
So hi, and today we're speaking with Ukrap, who's from Moscow Anarchist Black Cross. Hello.
Hello, hi.
I wanted to ask you, before we've spoken a bit on the radio show, a little bit about the situation, the defense of the Kaminki Forest. I'm sorry if I pronounced that badly. And just about some of the sort of repercussions about that. So could you give us a bit of an update about what's going on there?
I began from the beginning. It was one company from France and the government of Russia want to make the big highway from Moscow to St. Petersburg. And because of this highway, they want to cut 1,000 of hectares of the forest. This forest is a territory of one Moscow area, not the part of the Moscow city, the city very near Moscow, which called Khimki, and it's a forest from Khimki, Khimki's forest. And this company and government want to make the road, and but some people from some ecology organizations and common people from the Khimki who love this forest, who was play there or going to the some picnics, they began some protest companies. They began to write some papers to judgment and some other shit liberal stuff. But from card houses, they get some stupid papers that it's not our problem, it's all legal. And because of it, they make the they invite some other ecologist people and make the ecology camp in this forest to stop cutting it. And some anarchist organization support it. And after it, our government, they it was the like the big media stuff in the on the TV. Everybody speak about Khimki Forest, that some group are protest against this highway. And in one time, the government or this company, they pay to some football hooligans from Spartak. It's a Nazi football hooligans. They get money from the Kreml and sometimes attack different groups of opposition, like the some liberals or social democrats, and sometimes national Bolsheviks. And at this time, they paid to this football Nazi football hooligans to attack ecology camp in Khimki. And this Nazi come to this ecology camp and began to make some aggression against people in the ecology camp. And police come, but police always do nothing. And after it, all anti-fascists want to say, what the fuck are Nazis making in the in our forests? Why the Nazis come and attack our ecology camps? And why they and we must make something. And some people want to organize some big manifestation near in Khimki, near administration of this building. And this demonstration after began became it was like the peaceful demonstration, but in one moment somebody throw stones or something like this. And it's began like the little chaos and some attack on the administration of this building. And after all this group of anti-fascists goes returned to Moscow and nobody was arrested. But after 2 days, two persons like Maxim Solopov and Alexei Gaskarov was arrested. They was arrested because they was like a public anti-fascist. They never, they always, they speak with open face on the camera and they openly speak about their own opinions. And because of it, for police was very easy to find them and they arrest them and say, you are organize the chaos, you make hooligan action, attack administrative building and you're extremist. But they say, we wasn't there. at this moment. We wasn't arrested, but police make the papers that they arrest Alexei Gaskarov and Maxim Solopov on this protest near building. But they was already how 2 days after it they was arrested in reality on 2 days later, and they began make some fiction charge against Alexei Gaskarov and Maxim Solopov, and we began to make a company like you cannot take any person and say you're organizer of something. You must prove it, and they don't have some proofness, and we say you do it illegally. You broken your own laws, and because of it, we have the like the big companies to protect our friends. Some human rights organizations support us, and we began this company to help to these people, and we collect some money, making musical gigs, making some info tours, and speak about this problem and to help our people. And we have two global action days. The first global action days was near 1 month after arrest of the people of Alexei and Maxim. And after this global action day, our Alexei and Maxim was get out from prison, and they say that you will be sitting in like you are waiting for judgment, but waiting for judgment not in prison, at home. You can't leave the city and can't leave the country. I don't know how it's on English. And after we make the second global action day, and a lot of countries support us, and people in Hong Kong, people in Berlin, people from different cities, from different countries, make some solidarity actions with our friends who are anti-fascists and who are social activists, who fighting for the social guarantees, who fighting for the good ecology, but police don't looking for the real criminal elements who are, or they don't fighting with real crime. They are in reality the crime, and they protect the biggest crime like the global capital. They are looking for the social activists, and because of it, we want to say that it's not like the. We will be fighting against it. We want to fight for our rights, and we now make this big company to support Alexei and Maxim. And now we are waiting for the new judgment for them, and the judge will be said that some prosecutor won't ask for them 7 years in prison for organization big chaos near and at an administration building and extremism, but our protectors want to say that they don't do this. They wasn't on that place. They don't make the chaos. They don't organize these demonstrations. They don't throw nothing. And why you take these people?
In Russia, there seems to be lots of problems with sort of fascists and things, and that's one of the big differences that I can see in the UK, because in the UK there are fascists, but it's not as strong and not as violent. Whereas in Russia, it seems like people end up getting attacked over quite small things. So can you tell us just a bit about how that is, and sort of how? Because I know there's some people as well that have been. I think Renat Sultanov. Sorry if I say his name wrong. Has been arrested recently because of fighting with fascists and things. So can you tell us a bit about that situation in general?
Some problems began with Nazis maybe in the end of 1990s and beginning of 2000s. It was the thousands of Nazis on the streets. It all football hooligans was a Nazis. And every kiddie person when grew up, he say, oh, I want to be Nazi, I want to be rude, because they was real cool and rude persons who, and everybody was afraid of them, and they was a real the masters of the streets. But from the 2004-2005, some people from anarchist movement, some people from punk hardcore scene began to make some groups of anti-fascist militant anti-fascists who began to go and beat Nazis on the streets, and looking for them and make some attacks. And this group always grew up and grew up, and the Nazis always, they lose because they was so proud of themselves, and they think that they the most rudest, that the, when they see the violence to them, they was totally afraid of it, and they run, and they was in panic. And for maybe 3 years, our groups grew up and grew up, and after these groups began to divide it and divide it and divide it, and these anti-fascist groups began began to become totally autonomous from each other, and they make some anti-fascist actions in different parts of the cities. And after it, Nazis began to afraid to show their symbolics. Some people who was who was in Nazi movement, like the for fashion, they always say, okay, we are not anymore Nazis, we became I don't know, drug users or drum and bassers, I don't know, they began to use drugs and go to some trance, and some people of them say, oh, I understand that anti-fascism is good, and became anti-fascist. So quantity of the Nazis became very little, like maybe now I think it's like the last biggest meeting was like 4,000 or 5,000 Nazis, and I think that the real active from them who goes to the different demonstration and manifestations, it's near 1,000. And but it's a real in but also the Nazi movement became not so big like it was, but some of these groups of Nazis became totally radical. They became they go to underground, they began to use pistols, bombs, they began to make some attack with guns, and now if in past Nazis mostly kills some immigrants from other countries, so black students from Africa who come to study medicine, now they are not looking for such kind of people. They are mostly look for the some leftist activists or some social activists, some anti-fascists. Activists, they killed Stanislav Markelov. It was the anti-fascist lawyer. He protect anti-fascists in a lot of charge, and he was a leftist by and near to anarchist, anti-authoritarian ideology. They killed Fyodor Filatov. He was the one of the oldest members of Moscow Trojan skinheads. It's groups of skinheads who remember their roots of 69, love skinhead reggae and hate Nazis. And they was very active in some actions, and not only in militant, also in propaganda and in musical and in cultural stuff. Also, they kill Ivan Khutarskoy. His nickname was Kostalom. He was the very active person in anarchist and anti-fascist movement. Also, he was the social teacher with kids who are like the, you know, the kids who like the hooligan kids. And also, they always try to make some violent actions on the active people, and it's their methodics. It's like, you know, diaries of Turner or Turner's diaries. They use such tactics of the like the sub Nazi terror.
But just before we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, I want to say that thank you that you listened this interview, and I hope you understand my English language. I want to say that it's very important for people in Russia and for anarchist movement, anti-fascist movement, feel the solidarity, because we was for a long time, we was totally isolated by Soviet Union. And now our movement not so old like in Eastern Europe, and our state is a totally, totally dark. And for us very important to feel some solidarity from other places, that our problems, it's not only our problems. And when you, if you will be have the, some interest for the situation in Russia, please go to the, find us some information. You can find it on indie media, on Russian indie media. You can find news about Russia on English language on the website autonom.org. I want to say to you that I want to say thank you for the interest to our situations, and if you need some help from us, you always can say, and we will try to help you everything that we can.
Oh, thank you very much. That's wonderful to hear. Thanks a lot.
Okay, and here's another Spanish song. It's called Quiet Life.
You can give it up. Try to have a normal life.
Is that what you have now?
Anything for a quiet life, eh? A life of conformity, complicity, keeping your head down, your eyes, ears and mouth well shut. Where peace is a thought protected by armies and police, and the quiet is the kind you find in a graveyard.
Should I vote for
going to go to an interview Janoski with a bicycle community bicycle project in Guatemala called Maya Pedal.
Good afternoon. Maya Pedal is an organization in Guatemala, a nonprofit that's been in operation for 16 years. It started during the armed conflict, and a lot of families at that time needed economic help, and they didn't not only needed economic help, but they needed ways to organize and support their economy. So Maya Pedal joined up with a Canadian organization called Pedal, who provided some economic support and was able to help start this appropriate technology, creates bicycle machines that perform agricultural tasks that help the rural families perform the tasks they needed to support their small economies.
Bueno, para empezar, muy buenos días. Maya Pedal es una organización con 16 años de impulsar lo que es la tecnología apropiada. Esto nace a través de lo que fue el conflicto armado. En ese tiempo, pues como quedaron varias familias desarraigadas, a través de esto, pues se buscaron proyectos que vinieran a apoyar a las familias que se habían desintegrado. En ese tiempo, pues, conocimos a un grupo de voluntarios canadienses que venían a apoyarnos económicamente, pero se miraba de que la necesidad no era solo de darle un apoyo económico, sino que de facilitarles el sistema de trabajo para tener un mejor desarrollo socioeconómico.
Yes, we're in a small town called San Andres Itzapa, which is about 20 kilometers from Antigua and about 40 kilometers from Guatemala City. So it's about an hour and a half bus ride to Guatemala City, about a 40-minute ride to Antigua. Yes, I'm on a bicycle trip from the United States to Brazil, and I'm stopping off here for about 3 or 4 weeks to help out the organization, which is basically what most of the volunteers who come through here are staying for, anywhere between a couple of days to several months, or even up to over a year.
Yeah.
And so actually a lot of the travelers are traveling on bicycle, but many come on plane, many come on bus. If they're traveling through the region, they've heard
Excellent.
About the organization. The organization has housing for volunteers, so volunteers can stay here, and there's a kitchen for us to cook and share meals as we help out the organization with making bicycle machines or performing other tasks like responding to emails and coordinating shipments of bicycles from the United States to...
Bueno, este es un proyecto que en el cual nosotros pues ayudamos a las familias, no solo a lo que es el sistema de las familias de las mujeres especialmente, sino que también a todas las personas indígenas y a todos los agricultores en el área rural. Las bicimáquinas que nosotros usamos, ellos pueden empezar a cultivar, también a generar directamente ya un negocio, también hacer unas pequeñas granjas de desarrollo socioeconómico para que puedan tener un ingreso más factible al desarrollo de su familia.
Organization is directed towards rural families and particularly women to help them to create a small business on their farm or in their house. And the machines can do anything from blend shampoos and soaps to grind corn and coffee. And so
The machines really help the family to become more economically sustainable.
Excellent.
Well, if you go onto the website, mayapadel.org, there's a page that has an application, a volunteer application. You'll see several volunteer positions that a volunteer can take, including workshop engineer to help work on the bicycle machines, cycle mechanic to help repair bicycles, sales and publicity director that can produce PDF files and flyers, and some other volunteer positions. And then there's an application. If you'd like to volunteer, please fill out the application and email it to mypedal@hotmail.com. And that's how you can become a volunteer. We'll read your application and respond to you. And if there's space, which there currently is quite a bit of space, you can come through and stay for as little as long as you want and help out the organization. Volunteering here is a lot what you make it. There's a lot of potential to do lots of different projects at MyPedal to improve the project. Exactly. Yeah. There's about 15 spaces available in the house. We could support more volunteers so long as they provide their own spot in the town. We have had 15 or 20 volunteers at the facility at one time. Yeah, it's about 5 quetzales a day, 35 quetzales a week, which amounts to about $4 a week for the lodging and the facilities. And then the volunteers pay for the food. So we all buy our groceries and split the cost of the groceries as a group. And we cook for each other and we share meals. So it's quite a community.
Bueno, gracias. Para empezar, pues como decíamos, pues tenemos apoyo local, local, nacional, y te voy a mencionar varios grupos que nos apoyan. Por ejemplo, para empezar, pues tenemos a los de la Universidad, el Instituto Tecnológico de Massachusetts, Bike Not Bombs, Working Bikes de Chicago. También la Universidad Rafael Landívar y la Universidad Rafael San Carlos de Guatemala, que ellos nos mandan lo que es ya los estudiantes para hacer sus tesis. También el apoyo de los voluntarios, que es a nivel internacional. Lo decimos de esa forma porque vienen de varias partes del mundo y ellos son los que vienen a compartir y aprender también parte del proyecto que nosotros realizamos y tenemos. La organización, pues lamentablemente, no recibe ningún apoyo económico directo, sino que lo que recibimos son bicicletas recicladas. Y que el costo del ingreso de estas bicicletas a Guatemala y a Maya Pedal es muy elevado, y por tal razón siempre nos hemos visto en un déficit que para nosotros es difícil mantener la organización. Entonces estamos siempre viendo cómo podemos autosostenernos, aunque no tenemos directamente un gran beneficio, porque lo que nosotros hacemos es solo en las bicimáquinas, o para dárselas a las comunidades, solo cobramos el costo de fabricación, no tenemos ninguna ganancia.
We have local support as well as national and international support, and the international support includes some support from MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, who basically contributed some technical support and some design support of one of the machines, the bicycle washing machine. But we also, our main contacts internationally are Bikes Not Bombs in Boston, that provides the containers of bikes, as well as Working Bikes in Chicago, that also provides containers of bikes. And locally, we're in contact with some of the universities in Guatemala that have students come here to do their theses on technology. And, of course, we have the international volunteers that are continuously coming through here. But the support, the physical support, the material support that these organizations give are donated bicycles. Right. And with respect to finances, and when we sell bicycles and bike machines, we sell them at cost. So we're not actually generating a profit on the machines. and we rely on the donations of bicycles as well as monetary donations to keep the organization going and to make the shipments of bikes.
Muchísimas gracias. Pues yo hago una invitación en general a todos los que puedan apoyarnos. Tenemos, como les mencionaba anteriormente, tenemos varios problemas. Uno es el recurso económico, lo otro el recurso de las bicicletas, que ahorita en estos momentos pues pasamos una crisis porque no tenemos lo que es la materia prima. Si alguien pues pudiera o tuviera la gentileza de apoyarnos tanto económica como en materiales, pues a buena hora, y también con los voluntarios, que para nosotros siempre han sido la parte fundamental, porque ellos vienen y lo llevan a vienen a aprender y llevan a implementar este proyecto a otros países porque tienen más facilidades de cómo viajar.
Sí.
Y esto pues nos gustaría a nosotros de que se fuera incrementando en cada parte de cada país, para que hagamos algo por contribuir para mejorar nuestro medio ambiente.
Or help pay for a shipment of bicycles by doing a fundraiser, collecting the money and then sending it to us. Right now we can be receive money through Western Union or MoneyGram. We're in the process of trying to set up a PayPal account, but if you can organize a shipment of at least 400 bikes, or if you can help fund a shipment, that is absolutely what we need the most.
Gracias. Pues yo solo quería terminar con una oración que dice así, perdón, es un mensaje que queremos dar para que también todos hagamos conciencia de lo que es el planeta. Y dice así: hagamos del planeta Tierra nuestra iglesia y cuidarlo sea nuestra religión. Yantiki.
And the final Spanish song from their new album Crisis, is the aptly entitled Crisis.
We're all in this together.
It's what British business says is necessary, so we have to see this through.
We have put the national interest first. We've made the tough choices.
It's no good to say this was just a very small minority. It wasn't. There were quite a number of people who clearly were there wanting to pursue violence and to destroy property. Feel the full force of the law.
It's been a long time since anyone said no to you, hasn't it?
Empire in a state of collapse, but look how deeply we've been trapped. We've all got a share in this crisis. Now's the time to fight for something better than this. Spending our lives in the haste of credit cards, rush to the sales when times get really hard. Drawn by empty promises and driven by excess, we'll let them lead us into this mess. Crippling debt, homes under threat, the vultures circling for all they can get. We've got many ways to make us. Busy evading tax. strange. Let's turn their crisis into real change.
That's it for this month. We'll be broadcasting again in early May, possibly not in late May.
Maybe.
But it remains to be seen. But in the meantime, as we said earlier on in the show, the email address is radiocabele@riseup.net.
That's the one.
And if you're interested in seeing any of the older shows, sorry, that's actually listening to any of the older shows, where can people find this stuff?
I believe it's on radiocabele.net, or if you can't find it there, you can go to the Cabele website and look for the drop-down tab, which is radio. And then, yeah, they're all there, I think.
Okay, brilliant. All right, and also, too, if you do live around Bristol, Cabele, where we record this, is always needing volunteers mm-hmm. for the CAF, for the co-op.
More brains.
More brains and certainly more muscle.
Yeah, that's
I think.
It, yeah.
So definitely have a look at the Cabele website, which is www, or no...
www.cabelecoop.org.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Anarchism is for life, not just for one demonstration in London. So, yeah, come and prove.
That's right.
Prove.
One of these days you will stop wearing black. Rest assured.
Simple as that.
See you soon.
I'm dressed in lycra.